This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
It is a historic episode of the podcast. Not really for us, but for the crew. We'll talk about their exploits in Mexico. Also, a really bizarre situation going on with a star player in MLS that's not playing for the crew, which is wonderful to hear that we're not talking about one of our star players for once having
that
a
was
weird
last
situation.
Week.
Yeah, that's old
us.
News. Yeah. And then plenty of other things. We had Champions League. Some of the matches are done in Europe.
Oh, God.
Boy, two just bangers of matches.
Give me a
cigarette. Crazy. Yeah, I had them both on yesterday during our show, and I mean, it was hard. Every time I would look back, I'm like, okay, this has changed again. Oh, yeah. Something else has happened. Between one of those two games, it was just back and forth narratives changing constantly. And a new manager for Liverpool. So we'll get into that.
Maybe.
Well, right.
Reportedly.
Everything is a report right now. Nothing is confirmed. No one's got a scarf in a press conference.
Right.
There's none of that yet. No scarves and press conferences. That's when we call it official, right?
It's also still the middle of the season.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Liverpool are focused on other things.
And we were very confident like 2 months ago that we knew who the manager was going to be at Liverpool, and now we don't.
Not anymore.
So take it all with a grain of salt. That's what we're going to say. But let's start off with, I mean, we talked a little bit about the Cucho stuff, well, quite a bit about it last week. But I think we could start there because the situation continued over the weekend where he did not play for a second game. Or no, sorry.
He did.
He did get back in finally because we had the midweek game last week. Then he gets in, and he wasn't good. It was a rough one for our
Not
boy Cucho.
Not only was he bad, he then got a red card.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, look, I know he was frustrated. I know he was...
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's not what you want to have happen, but, dude, you can't kick at somebody like that.
You just can't do it. So Pat Murphy and I were texting back and forth about this, and he was at the game. I was not.
Yeah, sure.
Know, and one of our other friends had texted us. Caitlin, she goes, Brandon, what happened? We can't really see it, and there was no replay. And I'm like, well, Cucho got fouled. Like, they didn't call the foul on him. And I actually had a couple of tweets about this as well, like asking me what was happening because people must have known I've been watching on TV, and, like, they didn't show it at the stadium. Of course they didn't. And like, what happened? I'm like, well, Cucho got fouled, didn't blow the whistle. He was kind of upset that the whistle didn't get blown. They both go down, and he kicked his legs at the other player. Like, you can't – ref saw it, like, plain as day. You couldn't do that. And then Pat was just losing his mind. He was like, well, if the foul was called in the first place, like, it should be, that he shouldn't have got a red card. I'm like, I'm not here to say that Cucho shouldn't have kicked another man. All I'm saying is I'm telling you what I am seeing on the field, as is what is being called. Like, why are you yelling at me? Also, he's had a bad week. Like,
yeah,
this just kind of encapsulates everything going back a couple of weeks ago.
So DC gets the point off the crew at home.
You Aiden have Morris.
Aiden
though.
Morris. It should have been three for DC, and then Aiden Morris came out of nowhere with a brilliant strike. And it was nice because Neil was on the call, Neil Sika for Apple TV, which, of course, our guy. But it was reminiscent to me of that Will Trapp goal that he had at old historic Crew Stadium. You know, I think that was the Neil call where he said, where the air is crisp, right? You know, and it was great to see, like, okay, your defensive midfielder, kind of homegrown player in Aiden Morris's case. He's a homegrown, but not like from Gahanna, but still like a homegrown guy getting that big goal in that moment to help you, in this case, rescue a point.
It's something that he doesn't, I mean, he rarely does.
Yeah, exactly right. He's a talented player. We all know that, but that's not necessarily what you're relying on him for. You're relying on him for basically everything else on the field.
Yes.
But then adding that on top of it, rescued the team in a week where they needed some saving.
And then realizing that he wasn't going to be available for the Tigres match. Like, that was going to be it for him because he had gotten a red card in the prior match.
So I think that's where I was going into yesterday's game with the CONCACAF Champions League, Champions Cup. Why they changed it is stupid. I don't know why they changed it.
Like,
whatever.
We want to be like Europe so bad, and like the one thing that you had going right for you, calling it the Champions League.
It's easily identifiable. Everybody knows what that is. Just like, it's that, but it's here. Now it's like, it's Champions Cup.
It's
that
the
same
thing.
Thing?
It's here, but it's that name. We changed the name.
Anyway, so they go to El Volcan in Monterey region. I know it's like, I think it's on the outskirts of Monterey, but
it
still.
Is. So I was actually looking at this on Google Maps this morning.
Okay.
Because Monterey Stadium, which again, Soccer Podcast Day, Wednesday, I'm sure we'll talk about this. Playing
yeah.
tonight, Messi, Monterey. Monterey are up 2-1 heading back home to Estadio BBVA.
Like I think that's Estadio BBVA.
Yeah, that's
right.
that's
yeah.
their place. It looks awesome, too,
it's
by the
one with the mountain right outside of it.
So that's
it
on, like, the
gorgeous.
Southeast corner of Monterey. Tigre Stadium's, like, plumb in the heart, like,
oh,
just
is
north
it?
Of, like, downtown.
That's interesting, because when I was – everything I read was, like, oh, yeah, Tigre is in, you know, like, wherever they were saying, it was, like, in that region. Okay. But it's, like, no, okay, so they're smack in the middle. All right. Well, either way, yeah, that's – and they've got – I believe their game is this weekend, the inner city rivalry there between – Tigres and Monterey.
Okay,
I
cool.
believe they play this weekend in Liga MX. So, yeah, I mean, this, and then you got two MLS teams in town, Crew obviously taking on Tigres. But in that moment yesterday, I'm thinking, all right, you've had a hell of a couple weeks. This Cucho situation, the drama, it wasn't over, right? Because you didn't see Cucho come out. I was texting with you and our guy, Nate Beckman, like, Cucho's getting a hat trick today. Like, yeah. you know, I was just so excited. That did not happen. He did not score, obviously. But I was of the opinion that he's going to, you know, kick off this whole suspension thing and get out of that and go get a goal or go do some spectacular play. And we're all going to be like, all right, everybody's back. Him and Nancy are going to embrace at midfield. We're going to have a photo. It's going to be over. And then that's done. Instead, it's a red card. The drama, like, it's still like something's not right with our guy Cucho. And so then...
Still searching for Cucho.
Cucho's out for this coming week's game where they go to Real Salt Lake. And then Aiden Morris, because of the ridiculous refereeing, is out for the Tigres game that you're now going to Monterey to face. So you know the next two games, you're without one of your big guys yet again because of the situation. I mean, this Cucho thing means because of everything that's happened, he will miss three of the four MLS games that have been played of the as of Saturday.
Yeah.
The last four Crew matches, three of them will be without Cucho. Mm. So obviously you're grinding through that. And then you've got to try to manage, you know, the league points, the playoff standings. It's early, but you want to get points like we talked about. And you're going to Mexico. And you're going to El Volcan, where it's one of the toughest places to play. Tigres has not – they've lost one time in the last calendar year at that place.
Yeah.
Now, they draw a lot, but they haven't lost.
Yeah.
And we knew a draw – which is what ended up happening after 90 minutes. But that's where we're looking at this going in like, boy, this could be tough.
Well, you look at it going in saying this could be tough without Aiden Morris.
Who you, yeah,
of
exactly.
Of course. And then you look at the first 2 minutes of the game and you say, wow, this was already going to be tough. It's going to be even tougher. And let's just put that on a shelf for a second. We'll revisit that here in a minute or two. The start to the game. There was a 15-minute stretch at the very beginning of the game where I thought to myself, like, they are going to lose by five. Tigres was bossing that game. They were messing around. 8 offsides calls in the entire game. I feel like a majority of them came in that stretch where there was blood in the water.
Yeah.
There was back passes going on. Should have been a second goal.
Oh, yeah. It would have been if you didn't have one of the dumbest passes in the history of soccer that I've ever seen in my life.
No, I was talking about the first where it went in, and then they went to VAR, and they're like, nope. Offside, I know what's one you're talking about where guy for Tigres laid it off to Gignac,
oh,
and that was automatically.
Yeah,
like 5 minutes
you're
after
right,
the
right.
first goal.
You're right.
There was another one.
And that one was good.
Yes.
It was a good goal that VAR got wrong or that the ref
on the field got it wrong.
He got it wrong. Yeah. And then it didn't get VAR'd and they got CONCACAF'd. Tigres did in that. they got CONCACAF'd for sure. So that should have been 2-0. You're exactly right. Yeah. I forgot about the Gignac
thing. And then at that
point,
like that it's over. Like it's 2-0. There's blood in the water. You can't pass out of the back. Your goalie has made a huge mistake. Your defender has made a huge mistake. You don't know where you're at.
Well, prisoner of the moment, Bone. I tweeted at that point. I was like, you know, I don't care what he did. Maybe sitting your guy down for two games wasn't the, like, now everybody's discombobulated.
I'm sure you did.
I hope everybody saw it. I hope Wilfried Nancy saw it. Just keep it all out there. I want people to know how I feel. No, but I honestly still do wonder. Again, it's not my business, but it is because we're fans. That's what this is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just didn't understand why he's out for two games. So in that moment, I'm frustrated saying, now this team looks like they don't know how to play.
Yeah.
In a game that we all were hoping, you know.
You knew how to play.
Well, we want every time MLS teams go down there, if you're not a longtime Crew fan or if you haven't seen a lot of these Champions League matches, that here's how they go. The good team you thought you had goes down to Mexico and turns into a JV squad.
Yeah.
And they watch the varsity just destroy them. And go look at what happened to Club America in New England. Now, as New England is a totally different beast right now. They're not anywhere close to what they were. Caleb Porter's doing.
That was a disaster.
I mean, they
at
lost.
At home and away.
Yeah, they lost. They got a goal, I think.
8-2 or 9-2?
Something, yeah. It was. But, I mean, they were up 8-0 on aggregate, I think, before New England scored a goal in that series. Like,
call it a comeback.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was brutal for New England. But that's how that game, you know, in Mexico City against Club America, that's how it usually looks. So I'm sitting here thinking, all right, let's not be embarrassing. Let's get out there. We've had this drama. Let's have everything. Let's go out there and try to, like, fight for that tie and then see what happens in extra time if you can. And 2 minutes into the game, you're
dead.
It's over. Dead. We're done. This sucks. And now you don't
have
Champions.
And the subsequent 10 to 15 minutes afterwards, which looks like Tigres was just, they were going to do that all night.
Yes. But in most of the games I have watched the Crew play, and some of the other ones I've watched too of non-Crew games, there is always, it seems like, with a lot of the powerful teams in Mexico, they know that they've got a switch and they turn it on.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the last few years, especially watching these Champions Cup games, MLS teams are better at being consistently the better side for larger portions of the game. But then when the Mexico clubs decide, we're going now, like, good luck. Mm-hmm. Try to stop it. And a lot of times you can't as an MLS team. The Crew almost had that happen to them. And, of course, you know, we can now talk about, I guess if we want to, the Schulte.
Yeah.
Look, this dude is so good and so talented, and obviously this game he redeemed himself. In that moment, I didn't even think really what he did was that egregious. Like this, if you know the Crew, I'm going to defend him not because of winning the game, right? But I'm going to say this. If you like how the Crew play, and if you believe in this style that Wilfried Nancy plays, which I do, I think you do, mm-hmm. we like what this is. It's bold. It's different.
It's very modern.
It's the reason he said impossible is an opinion is because people say you can't go play big clubs in hostile environments like that and play that style. You have to totally change how you play. And that is the style that the Crew live and die by. So I can't get mad at Patrick Schulte for doing the thing that he is absolutely taught to do. He's made that little switch with his foot a million times, and you saw it. The ball just skipped under his foot.
Yep.
It was a play that can happen in the middle of the field where it's not dangerous. It happened to happen 2 feet in front of his goal with arguably
right there.
The greatest CONCACAF goal scorer we've seen in the last 50 years. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
so
that's the way that they play, and that's why he's so good in this system, because he can play it out with his feet, and they trust him back there as an extra defender. When they need a pass, when they need an outlet. And I was kind of explaining that to Meredith, like, last night a little bit.
Oh, I know,
like,
yeah.
Because she asked me, and I thought it was a good question. They're like, well, why would they continue to pass it back to the goalie? I'm like, well, that's what he does. I'm like, they look at him as an extra, not really an extra midfielder or an extra defender, but an extra set, an extra person on the field that can help with outlets. And I'm like, that's where you get a lot of the engagement, because a defense is tracking, a midfield is tracking, the attacking players are tracking that ball, and they're seeing where it's going in the back, and they're kind of shifting and ebbing and flowing, and then all of a sudden the ball goes to the goalie, and then it can go one way, and then from there it's either a counter or it's a sustained attack. I'm like, and that's what he is really good at.
Yeah.
Now in times when you're pressed in a hostile environment, it was the same exact situation we kind of saw last year against FC Cincinnati in the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't, in that moment, you didn't go on to win that game and hell is real.
No.
But I think at the time, when you look back on it, we said that it can either be a very, very, very valuable, important learning lesson for Patrick Schulte, or it can cause him to spiral and go out of control.
And what happened?
And I think he did the same thing last night, where immediately after that happened, it's like, boom, turn it right back in. Didn't get rattled. He didn't. I think the defense did a little bit.
The team was rattled for sure.
But his performance after that was stunning. I don't know what exact time in the game he made the save when it was on a breakaway 2-on-1. I mean, you see him. He's bouncing. He's popping. Ball, pass, boom. Like, over to the far post, like got all the way across his goal mouth.
And they called that one offside, but if it had gone in and they reviewed it, there's a chance they realized they were wrong on that too, because they did call a couple offsides that were not. But that was one where he made that save not knowing that it was going to be called offside. Right. It was a tremendous save. And
it's like the FC Cincinnati playoff game. I mean, remember that? I mean, down there, he did this.
And they
did the same thing.
One of their best goal scorers bearing down on him, and he gets a finger to it or an arm to it. Yeah. And that at the time was like, we're going to go down 3-0. Great. Who cares? But then that's how you were able to get back into it, was because you were down 2 and he was able to make that save when it looked like this isn't going to matter. And it very much did. So, yeah, man, I'm just for people again who maybe you have friends that watch these games, like, why do they do this? I mean, you heard it on the broadcast. They were talking about it where the Crew had like a free kick. They kind of kicked it around the box and they kicked it all the way back to Schulte.
Uh-huh.
And Stu Holden is
late in the game too.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're like, what are these guys? What are they doing? I mean, it was probably in the 60th, 70th minute. It was like,
you're wasting 1-1 at that time.
They're like, you're wasting an opportunity here. What are you doing? You're wasting an opportunity. And it's like, yeah, in a way, yes. But also, this is what this team does. And when I saw that, I'm like, all right, confidence is back.
Yeah.
You cannot play that system without confidence. And that's what worried me those first 10 minutes, was because everyone looked unsure of themselves, nervous. Uh-oh, can we really do this on the road in Mexico?
Like,
yes, everyone was looking nervy, everyone. But then Darlington, among others, was one of the first to kind of snap out of it, get them back to playing the way they're supposed to. And credit to the Crew for, yes, you got a bogus call there on Tigre. Should have been 2-0.
You should have had a penalty call.
Yes, you had that with Yeboah getting de-cleated in the box, scant contact with the ball at best, but it's a no-doubt penalty to me every single time. They don't call it. So then the CONCACAFing got 1-1, and I felt like, all right, so the refs are tied. The game is tied. Everybody got tied. We're all tied.
We're all tied at 1 a pop.
But that's a moment, and I'll tell you this too. I saw it again where I saw Rudy Camacho, who underrated aspect. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know this as Crew fans, but for the rest of the country, like, Rudy Camacho being back in that game, solid reason why they were in that game. Like, he, and again, coming back, you know, hasn't played a lot. That's a hell of an effort that he put in. So
also thought Shaberko played pretty well when he came.
Shaberko did. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't they both start? Am I wrong? I feel like they both played. I know Camacho was out there. I feel like but you're right. Shaberko was there for like the whole game. I don't think he came out.
I think you're right about that.
I could be wrong.
I don't know, man. It was late last night. When
I
was watching.
Yeah, I know. Because I remember somebody saying like we're missing Camacho, and I was like,
Shaberko did start.
Yeah, but didn't Camacho too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the back line.
Yeah, yeah, that was the back line. I was fairly confident because I saw a few people saying we're missing Camacho, and I'm like, I think he's out there. Like, I'm pretty sure. Because then at one point he did his patented thing, this is the swagger I love of this team, and this is why I knew we were all right. Gets the ball and just stands on it. For those of you who do not understand what he's doing when he does that, that is essentially him looking at the other team and going, F you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing anything that you want me to do. I will stand here on God's green earth with this ball under my foot for 2 hours. If the ref would allow me, I will wait. And you will eventually go and run over here and try to make me kick it. And that is them dictating their style of play. When you see the Crew doing that, it is the most blatant example of them looking at the other team and going, I don't think you've got it, and I'm daring you to come get it from me. I dare you to come try. So that's the swagger they had to play with. They did. And then, of course, you got your Cucho moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cucho, although, I mean, he certainly did not. He still looks out of sorts. He's not 100%.
Well, he also looked out of sorts at the very end of the game.
He did. You're right. We can. There's all that to get to. But he did make the cross.
He did.
That then.
Did you find that he was having a hard time getting footing last night? I saw him slip more than any other player.
I thought he was slipping a lot. I thought every one of his touches was just a hair off. Like it was. You could tell clearly he looked rusty. And this is also where I was like, well, maybe we shouldn't sit him for 2 games. Maybe that has something to do with him being a little rusty in the middle of the season, but whatever. But you know what, though? He found a way to make a great play. And again, a nice outlet pass. I forget who made the big you know, cross from like the back half of the field, but great switch. He gets the ball, makes his guy miss, sends in a perfect cross. The Mo Farsi attempted to do something with and flubbed, but didn't flub bad enough that Diego Rossi couldn't jump on it and score it.
Thank you, God. Hey, Mo Farsi didn't care. He was running and celebrating when the ball went in.
Sure.
He didn't give a damn.
Did any of us have Diego Rossi being like the guy who gets the goals against the Mexican Giants? Like,
How about that?
He got the one at home. He got the one here to keep it. He got the two regular time goals in this series. I mean, Diego Rossi putting in the work that you need him to. Now, he's not Lucas Zelarayán.
No.
He never will be. That's fine. But he can be an effective player playing alongside a Cucho type.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's ever going to be your alpha. I don't think he's ever going to be your number one guy on a team. But
he can help.
Certainly can.
And
yeah.
I think we're more excited to see what his value is going to be and what he's bringing to this team, because you have to think about it. It was kind of weird when he came in, right? A lot of expectations. Like, you're coming in for Lucas, which is, again, it's impossible to replicate how admonished he is here in Columbus. And I think
admired.
I think they're the same word, right?
I think they're completely different.
Are they?
If I admonished you, I would be yelling at you.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. That's okay. It's all right. I didn't want people to miss what you were saying, because I was like, I don't think we're yelling at him.
Warn or reprimand someone firmly. Yeah, good job.
All right.
Admire. Yes. I was trying to use a bigger word base.
I do the same thing.
I was
thing.
Trying
it's
to expand our lexicon.
I like that. That's a good word.
One of my professors used it all the time. It just drove me nuts.
Alexi Lalascon. No?
Is that the San Diego Convention Center? Yeah. Alexi Lalascon, where everybody dresses up with big red hair and has horrible takes.
I was going to say, everybody acts like a douchebag, tries to yell at Columbus.
But it's impossible for Diego Rossi to replicate how admired Lucas was,
right,
and is
beloved.
Here.
He's
And so he comes in, wasn't in good form when he came over from Turkey. Did have some decently nice moments through the playoffs, but I think it left a little more to be wanted. And maybe it's a confidence thing. Like, now all of a sudden it's like, well, Cucho's back. Hopefully, we think. Saturday against Real Salt Lake.
No, but
moving forward, like, you get into like kind of the dog days in summer and you're moving through a season and all of a sudden you're picking up confidence. You're understanding now you've got, you know, more months, more time in this system. You're understanding the intricacies of it. Like, then all of a sudden something clicks and like, hey man, I'd rather have him out there scoring goals than not scoring. Right.
Yeah. To be fair to you, I mean, or to your point, you're exactly right. It's hard for me to remind myself that he's not even been in Columbus for a calendar year.
Yeah.
And before even getting to that calendar year mark, he's already come in and helped you win a CONCACAF Champions League match. Like, two-leg thing that we have not really seen this Crew team be able to do against this level of competition, to go down there and rescue that game, get that goal, keep them in it. And then obviously when we get the penalties and all that, did his thing. But like, this is a big deal. And Diego Rossi can certainly keep growing, improving in what this team is. I don't, like I said, think Lucas Zelarayán is the ceiling for him. I think he's a different type of player, mm-hmm. but that's okay. And he is what the Crew could have used the last few games. He did find a way to help them out in this CONCACAF Champions Cup. So he showed up in a big moment, right? He showed up huge. So you need him to.
Where were you at when it was 1-1? We get through 90. We get through 120.
Yeah.
Where did the spot kicks?
Oh, I'm
because I had watched a lot of soccer yesterday. I mean,
I was watching
Bayern and I was watching Arsenal and then I was watching City and I was watching Real Madrid. And I had fun watching that. I watched Japan and Brazil at lower.com field a little bit earlier in the day. I wasn't there, but I was watching the Sheba Leaves Cup on TV. That went to penalties. I was watching the U.S. against Canada. That went to penalties. And like, we should have known that this game was going to go to penalties. So I watched three sets of penalties yesterday.
Yeah.
I watched Harry Kane bury one for Bayern at the Emirates, which was the most 1,000% thing that was ever going to happen, that Harry Kane was going to score against Arsenal.
Yep.
But we go to penalties. And for whatever reason, I'm like, I think Patrick Schulte is a crazy enough, psychotic enough human being that he's going to have a couple of big stops. Now, it's going to come down to the takers and like actually putting your ball in the net. But I felt so confident as to where 2 hours ago, a guy had made a mistake. And I'm like, oh, God, we're going to get run out of the building. Two hours move forward from that point. Well, 2.5.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But of actual game time, and I'm like, I think he's going to make some big saves. Like, I felt confident that we were rolling him out there in a shootout.
I was more confident then than I was after 90. Because once they got to stoppage time, I said, all right, everybody's gassed. Nagby's putting in a hell of a shift. All these guys are playing like crazy. Now you don't have the away goal thing anymore for 30 minutes. It's you got to go out and win this game, or at least keep it tied, if nothing else. and cannot give up a goal to them. I figured they would come out for like 10 minutes and just be crazy on the ball, doing everything they could to get their goal and just end this thing. So once we got to penalties, I'm like, oh, I feel real good now.
Well,
like,
I felt as good as
I had felt after getting down by, you know, a goal almost two, and then coming back and was like, all right, we got a chance to win this now because it's tied. Like then that's where I was back with penalty kicks. Is like, Schulte's, I think he can make some stops. I didn't know it would be what he did on the first two guys.
Jeez.
Dude, he stepped up and stoned one of the greatest goal scorers in CONCACAF history, right? In Gignac. We keep calling him that. But we talked about him. We talked about when they drew this matchup. Mm-hmm. Like, I will probably at some point in my life own a Gignac jersey. That's how big of a fan of this guy I am. Like, he is so talented, so good. You go watch
him. Good looking guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got everything you want. He's got that rugged, good looks. Yeah. He's like tall, could be a lead actor in a film, like as far as the looks go. But then he's also like a tremendous goal scorer. He's got the fire, he's got the leadership. You can tell everyone's just kind of looking to him. He's the talisman. He's the guy. He's the big number nine that they're just sticking up there to say, you go win us a game. And he does lots of times for them. And that guy comes up and Schulte guesses right and stones him. I mean, we know penalties are missed. Goalies don't usually save them. It's more about the miss.
Back to back though.
Yeah.
And at that point, I felt really good. And then when Kucha missed his, I felt really bad. I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, all right, it's 2-0.
That was
stop this. And then Schulte got a hand on the fourth one.
Yes,
but
it trickled in.
Low-sided him. And then Kucha steps up with everything that has been going on.
It's like, all he has to do is hit this and win it.
And he's back, right? Kucho's back. Search is over.
He's in the fourth spot, so it's like, this is, they got this all right. They got him exactly in the order you want him to. Let's go.
Post it.
And they were spot on. They said this, I don't know if it was stronger. Probably Stu said this on the broadcast, Stu Holden, but he said, you could tell that as he looked up, he saw their goalie guessing the right way, and he was already committed.
Yeah.
So he, like, banged it a little harder and just threw him off. And yeah, I mean, that's good for that goalkeeper for making the right read there and making the right, you know, decision. But then of course the guy we all thought who let the dogs out, Max Arfston. Mm-hmm. Arf, arf, arf.
That's, or a seal sound.
Arf, arf. Yeah, I guess it's similar. You're right. But in either case, he gets the goal. I felt for the dude. This is pressure to walk up in that moment and know that if you miss, now we're back on terms.
Now it's like you've
lost the advantage of having the two big stops and all that stuff. It just, the complete momentum would have shifted and you would have lost that. I'm convinced.
You would have lost the shootout if Max Arfston misses that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And yet he steps up and makes one of the great penalty kicks that we've ever had in Crew history because of the weight of what it was, and he did it. And so then the Crew have now done something that no CONCACAF team, no MLS team has done, is go down to Mexico and win a penalty shootout against a Mexican team. My wife had a funny line because I brought this up this morning. She had fallen asleep. She's like, how'd the Crew game go last night? I was like, they won. They actually won it in penalties. First time that an MLS team has gone down in CONCACAF is a historic thing. She goes, isn't everything like historic? I mean, couldn't you also say like, he's like, because she's like, wouldn't they also be like the first team with name your thing? Like, you know, we have the first, you know, black head coach to win an MLS Cup. It's like, well, he's also the first black head coach presumably to do this in MLS because no one's done an MLS.
Yeah.
So that's a thing he's also got now. She was like, well, then you've got first time that, I don't know, like a kid, Max Arfston, who's that age, has done it. Like there's all these.
Everything was history.
First time a 22-year-old, 23-year-old goalkeeper has saved two penalties against a Mexican team.
After giving up a goal in the first two minutes of the game.
Whatever. It's still historic. It's great. It's good. We're excited about it. It's awesome. But yeah, that was what a moment.
That's a great point.
I had a lot of people between last night and this morning texting me and saying, this seems big. This is big, right? Like not the regular people that text during soccer games, not the regular Crew fans. I'm saying like people who are in on the Crew because they've become undeniable now in this city and they are a thing. I had a lot of those people reaching out like, this seems big. Big?
Yes.
Yeah, seems big. It is. You're exactly right. Big. It's a big thing. And we should make sure everybody understands how big it is, because I think this is a pretty cool accomplishment. Job's not done now, because by the time you hear this podcast, you'll probably know you're either playing Monterrey or Inter Miami.
Yep.
Monterrey up 2-1.
Mm-hmm. Back
at home. Messi did not play in that first game.
Said it in the beginning of the week. Now, again, you're going to be listening.
I don't think he did, right? I'm saying in the first game, I don't think Messi played.
Correct.
When they played Monterrey. So you're at home, and obviously all those scenarios, right? If you tie by any score, Monterrey wins.
Yes. They have to win the game.
Inter Miami does. Yeah. But they have Messi, supposedly. He's been dealing with, is it the hamstring still? It's always something.
And he said in the middle, like beginning of the week. Now, again, mind you, you probably already know this. The result is probably out there. But right. He said in the beginning of the week, he's like, there's fuel to the fire for this game. Or something along those lines.
Sure, of course.
Which
yeah.
would indicate well, to and, me that he's going to play.
Well, and you know it's going to be a raucous scene, right? When Lionel Messi comes to a country to play one of the local pro teams.
55,000 person stadium.
And it's going to be just an electric atmosphere.
Of course.
I would guess. Because like you said, the result will be known. Let's react to either matchup. If you get Brandon Vasquez and Monterrey.
Terrified.
They're great. And you got to go there.
you got to go there. That's Viper's
tough.
Pit.
Yeah, that's going
to
be tough.
I would want that to be a situation in which if Monterrey won this game that you got to go to Monterrey first.
I'm with you.
And then you need the second leg back home.
Well, and you know what? Honestly, at this point, it can't be any more scary than what you just did.
No.
I mean, it's all at this point. I think
a mountain to look at.
The confidence level will just be, we've been there. All right, going back to the same city, we already know that it's not like you're going to a new place in Mexico and it's like, oh, but we didn't play it. Yeah, you
probably staying at the same hotel.
They played them last year. Am I wrong?
You're right about that.
Yeah. So I'm saying like.
You beat them last year?
Is that right?
They beat them in.
I know we beat them, but I think we beat them here.
Well, yeah, because that was in the League's Cup.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying,
Champions
like.
Champions Cup? League's
yeah.
Cup.
And again, that's different than this, right?
Of course.
This is very different. But yeah, I'm saying you've got a situation here where if that's who you draw, then you know their best striker inside and out. Like, you're aware of him. You've dealt with him. You know what he brings. You got it. That's not a bad matchup, honestly. And then, of course, it's just about dealing with the pressure of going to Mexico and playing that team and doing – and they're immensely talented, but so is Tigres. Then if you draw Lionel Messi and Inter Miami because they pull off the – what would be an upset, in my opinion.
Of course. Big upset.
Then you're talking about just a hilarious set of circumstances.
Yeah.
First and foremost – you're going to have a situation where all these people who bought all this money to go see Lionel Messi in October and or possibly at the All-Star game now will not get to see Lionel Messi potentially in his first action at Crew Stadium at the lower.com field. He would be coming for this if that works out.
What do you think ticket prices will be for this one?
Oh, I'm rooting for Monterrey so I can get a ticket and go because I don't want to pay $800 to go see this game. Like I mean, Monterrey is going to be a tough ticket too, because there are a lot of Monterrey fans that want to come and do this, but yeah, for sure. Like this will be one that Crew fans could actually get their hands on, I think, easier if, you know, Lionel Messi's not in the building. And I'll be honest, like when he is playing at his best, this Inter Miami team, my concern with building them into a champion of Major League Soccer is the length of season, the roughness of the playoffs, the whole deal. You got to have a guy who can hold up for that amount of time. As much as anything else you've had with some of the players that the Crew have had, you have had a lot of guys who've been pretty fairly healthy. I loved Artur. Yeah. How often was Artur injured for us, right? And it's, you know, I'm not saying that as a knock on him. That's just the reality. You had, that's part of building a roster in MLS. But when those guys are all healthy and playing, you can clearly see that Messi and company get it done.
Yeah, they're good.
So if they're all playing well enough to beat Monterrey.
And I'll tell you one thing. Like
they'll be healthy enough to play you would think.
Like a Luis Suarez and a Messi and a Busquets. Like, they're not afraid to walk into that stadium.
Not afraid to walk into any stadium.
That's what
in
I mean.
In the world. Yeah, you're right. Like,
they've played
everywhere you can imagine. Any environment you can think of, they've played in it.
Last time that the Crew played Monterrey was all the way back in 2021.
Oh, that's okay.
It's Club America last year.
That's right.
And then it was a 2-2 draw, and then they smoked us 3-0 down there.
That's right. That was the Champions League draw that we had when we won MLS Cup the last time. Okay, well.
Because you drew him 2-2, and then you went down there with like, okay, we'll see what happens. You need to get a goal, and then they.
That was when we were playing like goofy Caleb Porter ball.
Right.
Now we've got Wilfried Nancy, the warrior poet who maybe occasionally suspends guys for a game too long. But we've got a system. It works. So, All right. Well, you'll know. I just wanted to throw it out there either way. So which matchup would you prefer? I'm voting for Monterey.
I'm voting. Am I doing this selfishly or am I doing this based on me wanting the crew to get to a final and like win a cup? Because I think they're two very distinct answers.
You think Monterey's better than Inter-Miami if they're all healthy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that's a way tougher. I think that's a way tougher
away game for sure. Yeah,
to go and play. I feel like you would have a better chance at home. I feel like you'd have a better chance in a two leg set against them, against Miami. Yeah, than you know would what?
I guess I'm starting to buy into the hype on Messi. I'm getting scared. I don't like this version of me. I like to doubt him. I like to doubt he's not going to do it. But then every time he's healthy and plays, they seem to do well. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think you're probably right, though.
I think if I want the crew to win a title, I want Miami.
Yeah, but if you want to be able to, like, get into the game.
Monterey.
You want Monterey.
Yeah.
So bizarre. All right, well, you'll know the answer by the time this is all done, but now that scenario is out there.
And we still don't know where the final is going to be played either, if you're making plans. Like, that still hasn't been decided.
Oh, yeah, because it's a neutral site, but they have not announced it?
Yeah. They've said maybe. It'll maybe be a neutral site.
Can I tell you why I think I know what this is? If Messi's in it, it's different place than if it's any other team.
You know what? You're 1,000% right.
If Messi's
it'll
in
be
it,
in like they'll the
be
Rose
in
Bowl.
Dallas. They'll be in Rose Bowl or Dallas or like one of these giant NFL stadiums. If it's not that, they'll be playing at like, I don't know, the local park can I guess have it?
Yeah. You want Historic to play it? Crew
yeah.
Stadium.
Yeah, we'll put it there. All right.
Which I'd be all in favor for. That'd be great.
Oh, same. I'm just saying. I'm guessing that's why we haven't heard yet.
You're right.
All right. We'll take a break. We come back. Weird situation going on in MLS with not the crew. We'll talk about it next. Bone and Beam United.
I'll just say the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Of course, you can always tweet us at Bone Beam United.
I was firing off tweets yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. You were. Bone and Beam United Twitter account was active for sure.
And then we'll go into a two-week hiatus, and then we'll be back.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just the way it goes. Ebbs and flows.
It does. So let's talk about this Minnesota United situation with Emmanuel Reynoso, who is one of the, star playmaker for them. He is tremendous. This comes from the Pioneer Press. Andy Greeter was the first one to report about this. So in March, Reynoso was sent or was allowed to leave the club to go to Argentina, where he is from, to get his U.S. green card. The idea, of course, here being this has long been a thing, right? If you can get a green card for a player, they don't take up an international spot. Mm-hmm. So you can have a great player that you want to keep on the roster, but he doesn't. Now you can go get another player, too, and it widens your ability to flex on your team and get the right personnel and all that stuff. Reynoso was progressing through the immigration process, but then inexplicably failed to show up to the green card appointment. If he had received his green card, it would have freed up the spot on the Loons roster, provides him with a pathway to bring his family into the country. MLS roster rules allow teams to have 8 international players, and you can trade for international roster spots. Minnesota has all 8 spots occupied. So Khaled Al-Ahmad, who is the chief soccer officer for Minnesota United, said, Reynoso did not attend his green card appointment, and he remains in Argentina. We do not have an updated timeline for his return and have no additional comment at this time. Our entire focus is on the players and staff who are here. Yikes.
This is the same guy who got suspended for like 5 months last year because he failed to show up to their preseason training camp.
Oh, that's right.
Before that, he had also just not been there.
Yeah.
This is the third time over the last 12 months, like, or maybe the third time over the last 13 months that he has just not showed up.
Wow. That's
one of the weirder stories I've heard about.
I feel for the Minnesota fans. Cause I'm quite sure. I mean, this guy, when he's on he is a great player.
He scored 6 goals in 18 games last year.
Yeah. But that's not him when he's on.
Right.
Like when he's on, he is a dude. And of course he's also a guy who facilitates and sets guys up and all that stuff. But man, this is embarrassing, right? It you feel like as a fan, it's not your fault, but there's a part of you that's like, oh man, you're talking about Minnesota United, but you're talking about this. I wish we were playing better or whatever. Like, wish that was the focus, not this story. How many times have we brought up Minnesota United other than when the crew were playing them, or
and when they drew in like the last minute?
Yeah, that was it. That's
it was
right.
A couple
when
weeks
they were
ago.
Playing the crew or otherwise.
Never.
No, we don't talk about
it. Never bring them up.
Yeah, and now we are because of this, and I'm sure that's how it is for a lot of soccer media where if they're talking about them at all, it's for weird situations. So, you know, there's that ownership, I think, as fans that we take. But there's also just the fact of, can we just move on from this guy then?
Like, yeah. Well, that's where I would be at.
I'd be done with him if this is the way it's been going. And if who knows? I don't know what happened here, right? I don't know what the reasoning is, but there's at least a greater than 0% chance that this was a ploy by him to say, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
So I'll tell them I'm going to get my green card
and just
stay. And then what? They can't make me come back. There's not extradition. I mean, and then at some
that'll
point,
be like Batman, it's not going to be like the Dark Knight.
And then I say, well, hey, I can't get the green card. It didn't work out. Whatever's happened. Anyway, I'm down here. Another team wants to sign me. Why don't you transfer me and they'll pay?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll be happier. I'll be with my, I mean, again, I don't know the situation with his family.
I don't either, but it is very unprofessional. Oh, that's
sure,
that's what I
very
know.
Very unprofessional.
And I'm not saying that you can't be homesick and that you can't value
of course
being with your home and being with your friends and being with your family and that you can't miss them. You're going up to Minnesota. You're from Argentina. That's a very distant land and different cultures.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have an obligation to a team that's paying your salary.
Paying you a lot.
And say, well, and it's not even the first time. If this was the first time it happened, it would be like,
right,
okay, that's weird. But you did the same thing last year at this time in the preseason camp, and then you did it once before. Yeah, this is obviously he was in the headlines a couple of weeks ago, and that was Cucho. Like, if Cucho just went back to Colombia and was like, I'm just going
to
stay here.
I decided not to go to the green card appointment I was going to. Anyway, I'll just be chilling here until I can sort that out.
What?
It's like, what? Now, yeah, that's just a scenario that I'm sure if I were more versed in Minnesota stuff, I'd have even more insight to that. I admit that I don't. But that just on the surface, looking to it from the outside in, seems wildly bizarre. And I could see how Minnesota at some point would say, what are we doing with this guy? Let's just get rid of him.
Yep.
Let's sell him off and get whatever we can for him and then move along.
We can find somebody else. Will it derail our immediate plans? Yes, but we can't have this happen.
When you have the chief soccer officer basically saying, we're focused on the guys who are here, and that's that.
Oh, like, that's it. Yeah,
it sounds pretty much like that relationship is severed, and stranger things have happened, but I wouldn't expect to see him back in MLS. I'd be shocked if he is.
I want to go to the Crew.
He's trying to force a move. There we go. Which, by the way, we haven't touched on this, but just know, like, Schulte's big moments in this tournament, Aiden Morris clearly has shown who he is the last few weeks, last year. Cucho is Cucho. He's obviously going to be on the market. Everybody's on the market, but you know what
we're
I mean?
We're anticipating.
Everybody's looking at him going, can we get him? Is there something up here? What's the deal? Summer transfer windows, I feel like, going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong, but I could see that's when the European clubs really want to make their moves. I would be shocked if one or more of those guys does not get a big offer.
Yeah.
And then I know we've talked about with Schulte, we've talked about with Morris, all these guys, but let's hope that this is also why I wanted to bank points.
Well, and this is also a big summer for them too, because they got the Olympics. Like, Schulte, Morris had the Olympics.
Yep, that's right. So between all that and then all the international competitions that everybody else is going to be involved in, like, you're going to have a lot of guys playing a lot of games.
Luckily, at that time, that's when Leagues Cup is going on, so that's fine, because I don't want to speak for everyone in the Crew fan base. You and I don't care about that.
We're playing in the cool version of Leagues Cup.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing in the...
an earned version of it.
Yeah, we're playing the one where you don't just get in automatically. We're playing these Mexico teams. Yeah, I way more value that than whatever we're talking about with Leagues Cup. So, let's talk about the Champions League in Europe. Which game you want to start with, buddy? Because both of those on Tuesday were quite interesting, but, I mean, we can go with Arsenal because that's obviously
Did you see the play from the Arsenal defender yesterday? The penalty, non-penalty shout that Bayern was losing his mind over?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
How is
not called a penalty is bewildering to me. And then at the very end of the game, Neuer comes out so recklessly on Saka. I'm also wondering myself, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, not good.
Many a times in this game, that was my response to everything that was happening. Like, that was so reckless on both sides. No penalty was called in either situation, which I guess one is as good as two. Like, if you're not calling any, then what does it matter if you're calling both of them? I had a fun time watching that game. Didn't see Bayern jumping back in. Their form's been terrible. Like, they've been really bad. But
yeah,
now this is the only thing that they're focused on, which might be a good thing for them. Harry Kane gets a goal. All right, we kind of expected that to happen. Arsenal starts off the game really fast. Both these games started off fast. A couple of goals in the opening minutes of both of them. Arsenal crumbled, found their way back late, and then again, it's just, it's something different mentality wise. Like, I don't know if they're going to go, I don't know if they're going to go into Munich and be able to win that second leg against Bayern. I'm not sure. Maybe they'll get a draw. Maybe they'll go to extra time. It's so unpredictable. They're so good.
Yeah.
All of these teams at this stage. But the I will say the same thing I've said the last month with Arsenal. Arsenal teams have passed, would have gone up 1-0, would have given up the 2-1 lead, then to Bayern.
Right.
They would have crumbled from there and lost that game 3-1 and been dead heading back to Germany. The fact that it's 2-2 is a mega win for them.
Of course. Yeah, I remember with this, I had to remind myself of it as I watched it yesterday. Away goals are not correct. A tiebreaker anymore, yeah. So that would be a much more difficult thing if Arsenal had to go on the road and not tie in a way. Like, they'd have to tie in a way where they get at least two away goals. Yeah. That's tough, but they don't have to worry about that. They can literally go 0-0 and take it the extra time and all that.
Which has made it, I think, a little more entertaining. Teams not caring about away goals and the home team playing more of an offensive style.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because you go look at the other game too.
Jesus.
I mean, you could not have gotten more up and down, back and forth.
The whole game, for 90 minutes.
To be fair, Manchester City and Real Madrid, they might do that anyway.
Yeah.
They have the firepower to run toe-to-toe with anyone in the world, and that's exactly what this matchup is. This is the type of matchup that if you got it in a final, you would say, yeah, makes total sense. The arguably two best teams in the world, but they're not playing in the final. They're playing in a quarterfinal, right?
Whoever wins this matchup between the two of them
is the favorite.
I think is the big-time favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, that game had lost its mind.
Yeah.
Had lost its mind.
It was out of control. And so the fact that if Real Madrid had to go to Manchester City to, you know, get three goals or win it outright, either way, I don't know which one would be harder, but they're both difficult. Like, there would be no shot. Now they can go out and play. That game may suck for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
The Bayern game may suck for 90 minutes because then you've got teams saying, especially the visiting teams, we don't have to do anything. We just have to get two extra time or get a goal or get penalties or whatever. Like, we don't have to go out here and try to make up a deficit. So it did allow the opening games to be more exciting. I don't know what it'll say for the second leg.
That's true. It's a good point.
But still, two just absolutely crazy games to start off.
I mean, there was a moment in time, a 15-minute stretch in time in that City-Real Madrid game, where it was just open end, boom, shot, open end, boom, shot, save. Yeah. Like, it was so open, like Vinny would get open, then it would be Rodrigo, and then all of a sudden, coming down the other side, like Foden, Kvaratskhelia out of nowhere, scores his first goal for City at the Bernabeu, outside of the box, right after Phil Foden had made his. So you go from being down 2-1, Real Madrid looking like they're controlling that game. Foden hits a missile into the top left corner. By the way, he's in unbelievable form.
Yeah.
And then Kvaratskhelia out of nowhere too, puts it in the opposite corner. Now you're up 3-2. And 5 minutes after that, Vinny throws up a pass to Valverde, and Valverde just like
unbelievable shot.
As I was watching that game, and obviously I was cheering for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But there are games that I watch, and it doesn't matter who are playing in the games, where I sit there and I just watch with like an open mouth, where I'm like, yeah, this is the best that it gets.
Well, right, and it's an enjoyable form of the best, because you can obviously have bests where it's like it's a 0-0 draw, and Jose Mourinho and Diego Simeone have their teams really locked in, and it's like, yeah, but that's not fun. This is two of the best managers in the world with some of the most firepower you can find, and it's fun. Like, it's not a slugfest defensively. It's just, I mean, it is. There's great defensive plays being made in these games, too. That's why it's not 10-10. But like,
and it could have been
like with the amount of
their expected
back and forth
goals too, by the way, like City, and I don't like expected goals,
I think
it was pertinent to this conversation. The expected goals for City was like 0.75 and Real Madrid's was like 0.83. So the goals, like, it was good defense that was being played, but the goals that were going in,
they don't work with metrics. Cause it's like, well, unless I guess you're Vinny, or unless you're like all these other insane players, then I guess you're going to score some of these, but yeah, just incredible. The other two matchups, which, of course, by the time you hear this, you'll know the results of the first leg of these. PSG and Barcelona.
Good one.
That's a good one. And then Atletico Madrid and Dortmund.
Yuck.
No, I don't have any desire. I mean, I'll have it on, but
I will watch.
Of course.
But you know my thoughts on Atletico Madrid, so.
Well, that's what we just talked about. Yeah, your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite manager in the world. I'm just, yes. So this is, to me, I'm with you that I feel like the winner of Champions League is coming out of one of those first two matchups that we saw.
I feel like the winner of Champions League is coming out of this first, yeah, the first day.
Yeah, like, see, they're going to, I think whoever wins out of those two matchups.
PSG will not win. I just know that.
No, no.
And I can't see any of the other three teams that they're playing beating.
I don't see
either
Barcelona
City or
beating,
Real Madrid.
I don't see Barcelona beating PSG over the all of the series.
Yeah.
And I, even if Atletico Madrid gets through, like, I think now all these teams are like, oh, yeah, we know how to break you.
Yeah.
We're fine. we just got more offense.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Kylian Mbappe, if you score, you're coming to Real Madrid next year. You know, like,
yeah, right. Good God. Yeah, it's something. All right, so there's your Champions League stuff. Real quick before we get out of here, the managerial situation of Liverpool, we know Jurgen Klopp is out. We don't know yet who is in, but there's a new name that's been circulating around that job.
It has been, and you and I had talked a lot about the possibility and the potential for Xabi Alonso, right, with what he is doing over in Germany, and I think that that was a natural fit. All the Liverpool fans were very excited about that because, you know, he's a guy. He likes Liverpool. He played for Liverpool. It's natural. He's a manager now, and he's doing a very good job. It's a continuation of what Jurgen Klopp had been doing. Well, it was news that came out yesterday that that may not be the case, that Xabi Alonso may not take over. Ruben Amorim, who is coaching right now with Sporting in Portugal, he's 39 years old. He took over a few years ago, right after Bruno left in like 2020 or 2021, had taken over Sporting over in Portugal. He's done a very good job with them. They have put accelerators in his contract that, for like buyouts for clubs, and they've done a nice job negotiating that. And apparently that's who Liverpool have eyed as their new manager.
Okay.
So that's kind of a shock to me.
I find it to be incredibly shocking because I think what you've seen with what's gone on with Bayer Leverkusen this year,
yeah,
and having a guy that has a tie to your club managing that team, that seemed like a no-brainer situation. And maybe it is. Maybe that's what will end up happening.
Yeah.
Maybe this is all just some smoke and mirror stuff to get, you know, agents to get on the phone and work through deals to get it done. Obviously, season's not over. These teams are still heavily involved in their domestic campaigns and whatever else they're involved in. But yeah, at the end of the day, it could be that this is a rumor put out there to spur action to get something done. It could be that this is really where Liverpool's headed. But either way, I find this one surprising. I don't know anything about this manager.
I don't either. No,
honest,
nothing.
So
got
I'm not going to tell you it's good or bad, Liverpool fans. No idea.
Bruno, Liverpool fans, big, I'm sure that they love him, especially after his goal that he scored on the weekend against them.
Yeah.
Said about this manager, said, I hope he stays at Sporting, but if he takes the next steps, I think there are qualities for him to be able to succeed in English, French, or Spanish football. Obviously, we know that the Premier League is probably the most desired. The qualities are there. He's got everything to take the next step. In my opinion, to take the next step, but it'll depend on the clubs, the directors, whether or not they want to pay Sporting's release clause or not. And he went on to say, I'd like to see him continue to stay there, but he'll have great success wherever he goes.
Hmm.
So that's a guy who knows him.
Yeah, knows about him, probably follows him a little bit more than the average person would, I would say. All I have to add to this conversation is, Liverpool, I hope you get the coach you want. Not because I want to see you be good or anything, just because I know what it's like when you have someone that you really care about as a manager and they go away. You want to get that replacement right, so I hope you get it.
Yeah, I'm still looking for that 12 years later. So,
as a Manchester United fan, you know all about.
By the way, I was
right.
Texting our buddy Michael Bennett. I was texting him during the United and Liverpool game. And so he's a Liverpool fan. I'm a United fan. And when, I don't know how much you were able to watch this game at all this weekend, but Kobbie Mainoo scored the goal to go up 2-1.
Okay.
And he had sent me a text. He goes, this is it. This is Liverpool entering the dark ages.
Oh, like, wow.
Immediately.
Wow.
And they went on to draw.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they dropped
yeah.
some points, but they're still in a three-way tie at the top of the table, which is awesome. God. Like, we're super pumped about that.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that this week, but we got plenty of time to get to that in the next few weeks.
But he had texted me. He was like, this is it. This is the entry into the dark ages. Because started off the season, thought we were going to win the Premier League. You guys knocked us out of the FA Cup. And then maybe something else. He was like, now we're just not going to win anything.
Oh,
he's like,
gosh.
This is just the beginning of the end.
Yeah, that's he's truly crossed over into sports fandom now from his playing days. Now he's fully become a fan where it's like, yep, world's ending.
Yep.
We're tied for first. World's ending. We suck. We're terrible. This is over. we didn't get a ton into that discussion. We did not get to talk a ton about The eclipse, which, I mean, that was a pretty stunning thing. I was reminded of that because when you were bringing to Portugal, I did see that the next eclipse that is going to be visible, at least a portion of it, and this might be 2027 or 2026, I can't remember.
Soon.
There is one that I'm pretty sure you can go see in Spain and Portugal.
It goes up through that and then like through the ocean up to like Greenland.
Yeah, and Iceland. A part of Iceland, I think, gets the totality.
Is that where you guys are doing the show from?
Yeah, we're going to go up to Greenland and do it.
Nice.
But I honestly, that is what I would love to go to Spain or Portugal and see an eclipse. Now, I would like to go to Spain or Portugal anyway, but if I could couple that with like a thing like that, I'd probably do it.
I would drink some port wine.
True enough.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? 2026, that's when the World Cup is here. We'd have to see. I don't know what the dates are. I mean, I wonder if it would be around that time. I have to keep an eye on it. I'm not leaving the World Cup's here. I'm just telling you that.
We're going to Monterey.
I'm not leaving.
And Canada.
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's where we got to go watch matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those will be the spots. We didn't talk much She Believes Cup, but congrats to the U.S.
Yep.
Getting it done. And I know that was here in Columbus. I didn't get to watch a ton of it. I'll be honest, I do look at that, as much as it's a nice thing for the city, I do look at that as a glorified exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's hope that next few years, this program builds back to be the team that goes and wins a World Cup again.
But okay.
I almost had a burp. it's been a long hour of a podcast.
Olympics. I'm excited about the Olympics.
Olympics will be good. Yes, that'll be where I'll get back in and start jumping into that some more. And, yeah, all right, that's it for us. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again next week. Enjoy, and thanks for checking out Bone and Beam United.